let's talk about how our belief system and the logical brain affects our actual world that we create around us by the way we observe it. Okay, so the logical brain in your frontal lobe, one of the things that it does in addition to gathering data, like 2 + 2 = 4, and my appointment is Friday at 10 o'clock or whatever, or how do I park my car, you know. The other thing that the logical brain does is it's designed to ask questions. When the logical brain asks a question, it's also called a wonder. I wonder how to do this, or I wonder how to do that. And your brain will automatically begin to calculate without your knowledge, without your consciousness. So it's calculating in your subconscious in addition to whatever you're aware of. So you got two parts of you that are now calculating, communicating back and forth. And what happens if you meditate on something you wonder long enough, which is about 72 hours, your body will begin to create a neonet, like an antenna, that will attract all the possibilities. To him who believes, all things are possible. Okay? So the possibilities began to come to us from the universe. Why? It's the way God created it. If you look at anything that makes something live that's in the earth, it's what comes from above that makes it live. Water and heat. It's the same way with us, because everything that's created in the natural is unveiled or made seeable by what is created. That's Romans 1 and 20. So we look at the field where we plant our garden, and we put seeds under the ground and we cover them up so that the seed is in the darkness on purpose. Another word for darkness is to not know, to wonder. Okay, so God puts himself in a wondering place on purpose. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when you have a wonder, it means I don't know. Okay, if you knew, you wouldn't need God. But because you don't know, and you are the place of not knowing, which is the same thing as Noah and Enoch, okay? Their names mean that, and one's the father of the other. And so if you maintain the place of wonder and you don't miss it, you meditate on it, it will create in its own nature, by itself, a root system. But the root system will be inside of you, in your heart, in your brain. The earth is made out of soil, and you're made out of soil. The earth absorbs light in the form of heat from the atmosphere, from the sun, and the earth absorbs water from the atmosphere through dew and rain, snow, hail, okay? Likewise, so do you. You receive heat from the sun, S-O-N. What is heat? Pressure, stress, life, truth. Truth, how am I going to pay my bills? It's going to make pressure. Any kind of stressors that's going to come in your life, those are not by accident. They're by design. Because without stress, you cannot grow nor get stronger. And the seed that's inside of you, or the wonder, the idea that's inside of you, can't split open and become something bigger than what you imagined. See, I cannot see, nor can ears hear, nor can enter into your heart the plans that God has for you. So where do they, if they don't enter in, where do they come from? They come from inside of it when your ideas split apart and you can't figure it out. Why? Because if you could, you wouldn't need God. See, the soil needs the sun and the rain. Rain means blessings from heaven. It comes out of thin air, right? So does the sprout just manifest out of darkness, right? After the seed under pressure splits open, and then that which is inside of it begins to come out. So inside of all word is the power of life and death. And the tongue is both. Now, we've been taught that it's either or. No, it is both. Both life and death is inside of every seed. Now, which one will manifest? It's based on your beliefs. It's based on the way that you see things. So your belief, your observation of life in and of itself, and more importantly, your observation of how God feels towards you, that is what's going to determine what your seed produces. Because as a man thinks, so is he. And whatever you believe, you'll have. So guess what the number one struggle that most men have? Fear of failure. Because they've observed their prior failures in their life. And they felt a certain way growing up. And when you feel like a failure in the presence of your father, or your mother, or your siblings, or your coach, or your teacher, or your boss, and you feel like a failure, your feelings are 5,000 times stronger magnetically than your brain, and your feelings are 100 times stronger electronically than your brain. Now, what part of the brain are we talking about? The logical brain, the reasoning brain, the intellectual brain, your frontal lobe brain, the place where wonder is. We have been taught to live out of there. Rather than seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added, and the kingdom of God is inside of you. We've also been taught, lean not into your own understanding, but trust the Lord your God with all your heart. And he said, actually, don't lean, he said, trust the Lord your God with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding. Actually, it's trust the Lord with your heart first. Why does he say lean not into your own understanding? Because when your heart manifests something, the first place you're going to go to is your brain to figure it out. And God's going, don't lean into that. Trust me with what's in your heart, and I'll direct your path. So we have seen the world when failure arises, division arises, or death of something arises. We think that's bad, and we deem it as bad, and we deem it as failure. Rather than seeing it for what it is a seed. It's a wonder. It's supposed to go in the darkness, your own self. And die. Why? So that Christ in you, the living hope of all glory, can then cause that seed to produce out of you what you couldn't do yourself. That's where the two become one flesh in your body. So you are a living soul. You're not a spirit. You've been taught that. But living soul means female spirit. It doesn't mean carnal nature. It means female spirit. It means receiver spirit. It means the spirit who has no light of its own. It means spirit that needs to marry a giver. It means darkness. It means vessel. A spirit vessel waiting to be filled. A spirit of emptiness. A spirit with vacancy. Waiting for the life-giving spirit, Christ, the male part of God, the male part of you, spirit, to marry you. Where? In your body. There's the three in one. We've been taught you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. That's not what it says in Genesis. In Genesis, it says you became a living soul. If you look that up, it means you became one who receives, one who's hungry, one who's thirsty, one who eats, a carnivore. It's the same thing as soil. Soil absorbs the water, drinks it. Soil absorbs the seed, it eats it. Now, the problem is darkness cannot comprehend it. That means you. We can't comprehend spirit. We can't comprehend word. We can't rightly divide. But guess what the good news is? Inside of you is the Spirit of God, who's the giver of all life. So God not only gives you the idea through wondering, but then God makes that idea come to life when you figure out you can't. Why? Because if you could, you wouldn't need to be married to him. But see, a man needs a female in order to make his seed made known. So God, who is a giver, created man. Why? To make himself known in the natural, so he could give forth children. So God created us and called us a bride. Now, mankind is a bride. We think of female as a bride and male as a husband, and that's true. But in the Bible, it says this, man or male reveals the glory of God. So what is that glory? A giver. one who protects, one who provides, one who gives, one who's strong. Then the female reveals the glory of mankind. What is mankind? A receiver, weak, dark, no light of their own. Eve is the first female to look at that we can understand mankind. So what is she? She's a receiver. She's absent. She's without form and she's void. Why? Because she was made out of dust. That's what she was made out of. When she was made out of dust, she then produces that nature in the earth. She came out of man. Why? Because man is the representation of God. It means that all life comes out of God. See how there's different allegories in that one picture? I mean, it's deep. But if you pay attention to it, it's really quite simple. What's the simplicity? You as mankind, us, me as mankind, all of us, we have no light of our own. But that's not bad news. That's good news. Why? Because the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living. Well, what is Eve? Absent, darkness, wonder, no light. And God said, that is the place where I'll manifest myself. And so God created us as the weaker. And he even said in his word, he said, I did great works, but you'll do greater works than me. Why? Because we're going to produce the seed of God in the earth. See, a man knows that he's strong. Look, if I asked him to arm wrestle Michael Bertone, he would laugh at me and say, sure, baby, let's go. And there ain't no way. I could put both hands and all my body weight and push with all my might, and Michael's going to be laughing his butt off, and I still won't be able to push him down. Now, you know that laughter makes you weak. Right? Like, have you ever been laughing so hard you couldn't get up? Okay. Well, even if he's laughing like that, I still won't be able to push his arm down. That's how we are with God. God is so strong. There's no way we can overtake him. We can't overpower him. And when we become self-sufficient, it's like saying, I can do this by myself. And God just laughs. He just laughs because it really is funny. It's no different than my little boy picking up his plastic tools and say, I'm going to help Daddy fix the car, Mama. I'm like, you sure are, baby. Go ahead. Well, he hammers on the tire and hammers on the side. And he gets, Mama, I helped Daddy. Well, I don't say, you stupid kid. No, you didn't. No, I pat him on his back and I pick him up and hug him. And I say, you're such a good helper. Thank you for helping your daddy. Well, that's kind of how God's been with us. But now we want to marry him. We want to marry Jesus. Well, how do you do that? You recognize that your brain is soil. It's where you wonder. And when you wonder and you let your body do what it naturally does, and you know that God loves you, and you know that division is only multiplication, and that everything dies has to multiply. If you're coming from that place in God, then literally goodness and mercy chase you down. Blessings just happen. And you'll realize it's not by the work of your hands. It's by the seed or the word, the idea, going inside of you. And in a dark place, sprouting from out of nowhere, truth, revelation. And when you see something die and you understand that, guess what happens? You get excited. Like, I don't get upset anymore. I don't get depressed or feel like the devil's stolen from me and I got to go fight and get it back and I'm going to get back sevenfold. I used to think like that. I don't think like that anymore. I think now no different than my husband when he planted his garden. He said, baby, come look at my garden. Well, he was done with it. It was all rowed up and it goes, you know, one portion of the garden goes east and west and the other portion of the garden goes north and south, and it's huge. And it just looked like a pile of dirt. It just looked dark. It looked like rows and valleys, peaks and valleys. That was it. There was nothing green coming out the ground. But he's a, look how beautiful. See, it was dark and lovely. Why? It was now in position to bring forth fruit. Likewise, when you have an idea, and you have a business idea, when you have wonder, That's like God producing that dark, beautiful garden with peaks and valleys. Why? Because your brain's going to begin to brainstorm. It's going to be every little thing that has anything to do with that business idea is going to catch your attention. And some of it's going to go, yeah, that's a good idea. I could do that. And other than, nah, that's stupid. And you'll just start weeding out what direction you don't want to go in. But all possibilities are going to pop up. And again, if you're looking at it from the perspective of, I know what death is, I know what division is, it's a harvest and a multiplication, you will be excited when something falls into the ground or an idea falls apart right in front of you. You'll see for what it is, and you won't be upset. You will be joyful. Not because you're choosing, let me be joyful as an act of my will because I'm supposed to. No, it don't work like that. That's fake. That's lying. That's acting. But when you have understanding, you'll rejoice no different than my husband did over his garden because he understood it, right? Now, here's the way that works. Excitement, gratitude, peace, joy, and the understanding I am loved and I am blessed, dwelling in your members is a frequency. That frequency is what draws to itself the frequency that blesses the seed that's in you and causes it to grow. No different than if you have an acorn in the ground, it will draw to itself light and water and all the nutrients out of that soil and become an oak tree. If you have an acorn that has a hole in it or a worm in it, that same acorn, 2 inches away from the acorn that's whole, will turn into dust. How? It will draw to itself mold and bugs and whatever else that will eat it up and make it go back to dust. Right? So when you've had enough of failure, enough of your ideas turning into dust, it'll make you go, what in the world is wrong? I keep doing all this stuff and everything just keeps falling apart. It'll make you dig. It'll make you seek God. It'll make you seek for truth, which is what brought you to where you are right now. You're now seeking inside of you, in the kingdom of God, for truth, rather than looking outside of yourself for truth. Why? Because you've figured out God lives in you. And you've tasted and you've seen that when you go into your heart and into your emotions, your marriage changes. Your work changes. Your relationship with your children change. Why? Because your relationship with God inside of you changed. That's why you're back here. You've seen results. Now, somewhere else you need more results or you wouldn't be here. So you're struggling a little bit. That's okay. We are supposed to disciple one another. We're supposed to equip each other to do the work of the ministry, which is to make God's love made known to the world. And I propose, if you can't have it in your own home, how in the world are you going to share it anywhere else? You won't. And so when you come from the perspective that I am loved and you're no longer believing lies about yourself, that frequency is what you'll attract to you. However, on the other hand, if you believe, my God, I'm always failing. My daddy was right. My mama was right. My coach was right. My teacher was right. No matter what I do, it ain't good enough. Something always sabotages it. I always get right on the brink and then something pulls it right out from under me. If that's your belief, guess what you'll create? That. Why? Because the observer affects the seed. The observer affects the wonder, the idea, the flag, the sign, the monument, the token. And God says, if you miss that, you'll miss your miracle. That's what it means to sin. It means to miss that you are already loved, to miss who you are, to misunderstand your very nature of you are married to Jesus. And that's the only place life is going to come from. Why? Because he's the hope of glory dwelling in you. And where is God's riches hidden? In glory, in Christ Jesus. Right? And Jesus came to teach you to suffer as the way. And he said, now, if you'll suffer with me, you'll reign. And so you've already suffered. Every human being has suffered. There's not, as a matter of fact, that's why you came to earth. You came to earth for the purpose of suffering. No different than a man puts a seed into the ground so it'll do what? Die. Before you came here, you had never died. You were in Christ. You were in heaven. It even says it in Scripture. In 1 Samuel 9:9, it says, before time, in other words, before measurement, when a man, it says before time in the land of Israel. So let's look at just that one part, before time. That means before any measurement, any law, any way of looking at height, depth, length, width, good or bad. Before that possibility existed for man, it was in the land of Israel. What does that mean? In the land where God ruled. Because see, the nation of Israel didn't exist in the natural before time. So what is it talking about in the land of Israel? It means in the place where only God could measure. In the place where only God knew the knowledge of good and evil. Just like he told Job, where were you when I laid the foundations? Where were you when I measured it out? Where were you when I measured the oceans? See, man didn't have the capability of measurement. Only God did. That's what it means. That's what Israel means. Israel. So in that time, before time, in eternity, when only God had measurement, when man wanted to inquire of God, what does that mean? When man wanted to see God, when man wanted to see God's face, they had to go to the seer, not a seer, the seer. That means there was one. Who is all truth? Jesus. Who is the Word? Jesus. Who was it that was before the foundations were laid, was slain for me and you? Jesus. So if we're going to marry him, that means we're going to be his equal opposite. We're going to look just like him. We're fashioned after him. We're made in his image. Okay. So we go to Jesus and we want to see God. And Jesus says, okay, let me show you what I see. He shows you your whole life. And he proposes to you, according to 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. He proposes to you, says he saved you and called you. Saved you means made you whole. Weren't you already whole? Whole means nothing missing. And at that point, you had limits missing. You had knowledge of good and evil missing. So he made you whole and he proposed to you. And he said, okay, I'll go with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He shows you your life. And then guess what? You come into the earth to do what? The same thing he did. Suffer and die. Why? So you could be resurrected and awakened, not just in the last day when the resurrection of all mankind comes and the seed gives up its dead, but resurrection right now, as Christ was trying to tell Mary and Martha when they said, yeah, we know in the last day. And he's like, no, Lazarus, get up. And he asked Lazarus or told Lazarus to get up. Why? So Lazarus could show them that he was talking about it now. Right now is the resurrection. He said, I am it. That means I'm the sprout. I am the life. I am the truth. I am everything you need inside of you. Marry me. The word Lazarus in that context means helper. So when he said, Lazarus, get up. He was saying, female, helper, bride, the inside part of all creation, wake up. Now take the grave clothes off. Why? For he stinketh. Why? Because when the female part of us died in the garden, it stunk. It was full of worms. It was full of death. But doesn't a man put a seed in the ground to die on purpose? Likewise. God wasn't stupid. God wasn't indifferent. And God didn't stop loving us. God didn't stop being good. No, God allowed us to come into the earth to die. Why? Because we want to see his face. And no man can see the face of God and live. So the only way to see the fullness of God, which was what? The knowledge of good and evil. That's inside of God. It was in his heart. Why? Because God's all-knowing. And all means all. And we wanted to see God's face. To see God's face means to know him and know his heart. So God gave us permission to come into darkness and manifest in this body called limits. That's what I'm writing about in my new book, No Longer Deceived. Why? Because you lost your identity. You lost your Eve part. How did you do that? You were born from the seed of Adam and Eve, and they lost their identity. They lost their Eve part. How did they lose it? To the knowledge of good and evil. And so that's what's being restored. That's what's being restored in us right now. Why? Because this is the time of the bride. It's the time of the revelation of who we are, why we came into earth, why would God let us suffer if he loves us? That's what's being answered. And that's what's being unveiled right now in the time that you and I are living, which is what Habakkuk prophesied of in Habakkuk chapter 2.